We're not healing cancer, but we could potentially heal cancer if we make enough money that we could pour into organizations. That's the thing. That's the power of beauty. Mm-hmm. You know, the more successful, I think so many people have, and I don't want, you know, when we talk about gatekeeping, but just really speaking on this because I think it's important. There's so many people who have had so much success and we wish they've done so many other things, you know, for the community. Yeah. There's those who's definitely doing things because it's not all about who's highlighting it, who's showcasing it. But we definitely know like those who have just not done much, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like, you know, when I'm successful, or Danessa's successful, or Kim's successful, or Kim Roxy from, you know, Lameek Beauty's successful, or Black Beauty Collective successful, or you're successful. Like I said, we really shape and change the community. And it's not just about us looking fly and having luxury items. It's about really like making some real economic changes that can empower our community. And so that's a flex that we could grow our brands to that level to make impact. Yeah. It's a big deal.
It is. It's serious business.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty, Akuia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast, I have the pleasure of having Ashunta Sharif Kendricks in the Friends in Beauty guest chair for the second time, okay? So let me tell y'all about Ashunta. Ashunta is an Emmy-nominated celebrity makeup artist, beauty educator, and founder of Ashunta Sharif Beauty. Through her work on major Academy Award-winning motion pictures and her work on the iconic character Cookie from the Fox hit TV show Empire, Ashunta has become the red carpet go-to artist for many of today's A-listers in Hollywood. Ashunta created Ashunta Sharif Beauty to bring easy-to-use quality products to create flawless, stunning, and radiant makeup looks for all skin tones. So, welcome to the Friends of Beauty podcast again, Ashunta.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate this a lot. It's nice to come back again, especially I think the first time I was on like 2 years ago.
Yes, I can't believe I was looking at that myself before this. I said, let me see when was the last time she was here. 2 years ago, episode 81.
Wow.
And we're like in the 200s now. So that's crazy.
Bravo to you. That's amazing.
Thank you so much. I know.
Do they have awards for the amount of podcasts after a while? I don't know anything about podcast world.
I know that they have podcast awards, but I don't know for like the number of shows, but definitely podcast awards out there.
Okay. Well, we're going to claim that's coming for you. Yeah. I'm sure you have some awards already, you know?
Yes, that would be so cool. I don't have any podcast awards yet, but that would be so cool to get an award for the Friends in Beauty podcast. Wow.
Let's claim it. Let's put it out there.
We're putting it out there from your mind for eye to God's ear.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot has happened since I last been here on Friends in Beauty. And yeah. I don't even know where to begin. Like,
yeah.
Where do I start?
Sorry.
Like literally today we announced that, you know, I won Entreprenista 100 awards. And so that is like a big deal. They have a long list of amazing entrepreneurs annually over the last, I believe, decade it's been, that they've awarded various entrepreneurs. And it's a lot of people, like, you'll know their names, like, if you look at the history and the track record. So why is someone calling me right now? Hold on. I'm in the middle of something.
Someone's calling you and my cat is over here acting a fool.
Like, I'm like, no, not right now. So back to the Entreprenista. But yeah, so it's just really an amazing feat for me as an entrepreneur to be nominated and then awarded. And so there's a big ceremony in May that we'll be flying down to. And then they have 7 more prestigious awards that are only, you know, it's like a Grammy, like you only find out that night. And so all 100 of those entrepreneurs are up for these big seven awards. So I'm really excited. I hope we get thrown into innovative beauty brand, because that's really like what I want. Yes. Because that's what I believe we've done. You know, we've literally commercialized neon makeup, you know, and right. You know, where I have it on right now, you know, like it's being rocked on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I'm proud of the entrepreneurial and the innovative stuff that the brand has done this year. So that's a big thing for us. And then, you know, we moved into big box retail. So I don't know when this episode will air. When will this air?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yet. You're not sure yet. So I'll put it in there and you decide. So okay. In April, we'll be doing a specialty with TJ Maxx, which I'm really excited about, because people look at Maxx, you know, like they're like, oh, TJ Maxx, you know, but Pat McGrath Labs is in there. Fenty is a whole bunch of brands right. That are popping up in Maxx, because the TJ Maxx shopper is like us. She's a woman who savvy, who wants to save money, but she wants quality. And so I'm like, of course, this makes sense. I shop at TJ Maxx, and you know, I've shopped there for my kids or in holiday gifts. And there's some good ones, you know, like where you go to, like, oh, this is the one that I need to go to.
But
I'm really excited for us to go in there with our sponge, and we're doing a special box set just for Maxx.
Wow.
And we're trying to become their, you know, their staple, one of their staple items. And that's a big deal for us. So we go in April. So I'm really excited about that.
This is so cool. We definitely have a lot to catch up on. Everything that you just mentioned is like so amazing. I want to kind of like dive deeper and know more about it before we dive too deep. We're going to start off with some icebreakers, because I'm not sure how many people seen your first episode. So we want to know a little bit about Ashunta behind the brand, and then we're going to jump into the brand. So first, give us three random facts about you.
I'm a nurturer. I'm a cheerleader for all things Black. And I'm like the little train. What is it? The little choo-choo that could. I'm never going to stop. To the nut, like, going to keep doing no matter how many times I'm knocked down. I'm that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things to know about me.
I love that. And one of my favorite things about you, y'all, Ashunta is like the best storyteller that I know in the beauty industry. You have like the best stories, I guess, from experience and everything. But I just love when you tell your stories. Random.
I hear that all the time. People are like, you need to write your stories. I'm like, some of them I have NDAs on. I can't write them, you know, but there are stories that are very more personal to my journey that I can speak to. So I'm working on some stuff.
Okay. I love that. So if you were to run into your 20-year-old self today, and you could only say three words to 20-year-old Ashunta, what would you say to her?
Ooh, that's crazy. Cause in like 10 days, I'm gonna be 50 years old.
What?
Yes.
No way.
Yeah, way. I'm gonna be 50. And so what would I say to my 10-year-old self? 20-year-old self. I was like, damn, that's too far back. I don't know what I'll say. My 20-year-old self, wow. I mean, I would definitely tell myself, you know, you're on the right path. I think so many times at 20, I thought I was making so many mistakes and just so many hiccups in life. And at the end of the day, all of those hiccups helped me to what I call now is fail up. Yes. So through the failures, I learned and I grew. And from those growth moments, they made me better, you know, as an individual, artist, a businesswoman, a parent, all of those things. So I would definitely tell my 20-year-old self, you're on track, and not to worry, and to just keep God first, always. You know, which I believe I did even from back then. But there were moments I know at 20 where I had a lot more angst in me as a younger woman because of life experiences that I had not healed from yet. And so my 20-year-old self was definitely more. I had my father, you know, taken from me early in life. So there was always that question of like, come on, God, like, how are you going to take my dad? You know, so there was always that imbalance within me and my relationship with God. But I just kept pushing through and having faith, even in moments of questioning. And I also learned that was healthy to question, because if God is our father and our all being, sometimes you do go to your parents and ask questions,
right?
Because they have the answers, and maybe they don't have the answers, but together you'll find those answers. And I believe that's what God is like as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tell myself to, you know, don't fear. It's all going to be okay.
Yes, it all works out. You become successful in the end.
You do. And it's just from putting one foot in front of the other. Literally, that's all it takes. And, you know, sometimes life is lifing and it's hard to keep putting your feet going forward.
Yeah.
Personal life things. You know, I always feel like, you know, when you're having one success in one area of your life, another area of your life, sometimes it suffers. And that's just facts because it takes so much tunnel vision for success in whatever area, whether it's a successful relationship, whether it's a successful business, whether it's being a successful parent. Right. Mm-hmm. All of these things require time and nurturing. And so you just have to really kind of find your balance in those things because you don't want those other areas to suffer. And I do believe that there's a way to balance those things. You just have to kind of really start prioritizing, you know, what's most important to you.
Yeah. Oof, for sure. I'm learning that right now. When is the last time you did something for the first time? Anything new?
Ooh, when's the last time I did something for the first time recently? I've done a few first time things. Like, I mean, I went on the Today Show. That was the first time I'd ever done it in the past year. And March 2023 was the first time I'd ever gone on in front of camera. You know, I had been there all the time. I was there every week sometimes, you know, with different clients, sometimes twice a week when I lived in New York, especially. And so going for the first time, I felt like it was such a big deal for me. Going on the other side of camera. So I definitely felt that.
Yes.
And have full gratitude for it, you know?
Hey, friend, I really need your help with something. I'm planning to host my very first travel retreat in 2024. And this is why. I live in DC, but I love to travel. My last few trips, I've gone to Mexico, Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, but I'm starting to get that urge to hop on a plane again very soon. And I've been thinking about what I want for myself and what I want for Friends in Beauty in 2024. And that is to make a bigger impact and build deeper connections while doing the things that we love. Like, what better way to do that than on a bomb trip, making new memories together, learning from one another, experiencing new cultures, and laying out in the sun? What I really want is for us to get into the habit of resting, recalibrating, and celebrating ourselves more. We work so hard on a day-to-day basis, and I want this experience to be an all play, no work type of vibe. You feel me? I'm ready to have some fun and I want you to come along with me. Instead of catching all the highlights on my Instagram and YouTube, all you have to do is fill out a brief 2-minute survey to let me know where we should go, what your budget is, and the best time of year and what you want to do. I'll leave the link here and below in the show notes. I am super duper excited to collaborate with you on this. Let's make this retreat happen and get your passports ready because we're getting up out of here. That's so cool. And it's like all the things that you've done in your journey as a makeup artist that have led up to this point. Because I know you used to do correspondent type of stuff, like, you know, reviewing products or, just camera, on camera type of work before. And now you're like representing your own brand instead of.
I think for me, like, it's a natural progression. I was a theater major in high school. So I was always doing plays. I was always comfortable in front of people. Mm-hmm. I liked to perform. I danced, I sang, you know, I did all of those types of things growing up. And so it's not really far removed. I kind of already was getting into makeup through theater, through performing. Yeah. So it's my first gift, which was dance. You know, I started dancing at age 3. I'm not the most world amazing dancer at all, by no means, but I did dance, you know, and I did African dance and I did jazz, and they're still special to me. I have moments where my friends will tell you, I have full jazz breakout moments, you know, and I do a kickball chain, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like I'm literally that person. But, you know, as I've gotten older, I don't dance as much. I don't, you know, I'm not out in the world. You know, I used to literally plan my life to be like, okay, Rich Medina's spinning at APT on this day. I am going to dance. Like, I'm going to release, because dancing was my first passion. It's the first thing that I was really good at as a kid, and I did very well in it.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy you mentioned that, because I've always been trying to wonder about my natural progression of things that have led me to do the podcast. And I guess it would be like, I used to do plays, dance, So I guess that prepared me for, speaking in front of people, and I never really thought about
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I mean, one thing kind of influences the other, and it gives you all the mental preparation of, even though I still sweat bullets when I go on TV shows. KTLA, I sweat through my makeup. I had to reapply it. I still have nerves because what I realize is as overtly open and huggy and nurturing and lovey that I am, I'm actually an introverted person. I spend a lot of my time like alone, like whether it's, when I'm not on work on a set or in a meeting dealing with a Shinta Sharif Beauty, I'm like in my bedroom alone, until like my husband comes back from what he's doing. I spend a lot of time by myself and I'm really comfortable like that. It takes a lot to then go in front of people. People have no idea. People are like, you make things look so easy. It's the training that we have, the training that we have that's been kind of built into us from being in front of a stage or in a camera or dancing or whatever that training was. It gives you the guts to go in front of people, but it doesn't
Still
mean
get
you ain't
nervous.
experiencing. Yeah, it still don't mean you ain't experiencing nerves. Like it's nerve-wracking. It is. And I know because my whole body is sweating. So it's a
But
lot.
you got through it though.
Listen, I'm always like, God, just get me through it. God gets me through it every time. Even when I'm there physically doing, even when I'm in the makeup show keynoting, it's a moment where I'm just not even present and God is just literally working through me. I mean, it's like literally moments I just mentally escape because I'm
I know
so
what you
stressed out.
mean. I know what you mean, but it's like outer body. When I do, I forgot. I think it was when I did my first live podcast. It was like I had to go back and look at the footage because I was like, I wasn't there. Like I literally was physically there, but mentally, I was like, I don't really remember a lot of like what happened. It was like really like outer body. So I understand. I understand
Yeah,
that.
you just it's just you're like you can't even collectively understand it, I think, when you're a really introverted person. But it's like there's I believe when we have missions that are greater than us. It's we're called to the forefront. Like you were called to the forefront to create this podcast, to create this community, to bring this awareness to beauty and, Black beauty creatives and to highlight just beauty entrepreneurship in general, right? So we all are kind of doing our parts, to make change in whatever way we can. I think that's what a lot of all of what we are all doing has been birthed from is what we saw doing, Black Lives Matter and George Floyd. I think all of this is all a result of we have to start creating our own narratives and making our own tables, and really like showing people like we're here and we can create sustainable podcasts, businesses, brands. Future, legacy, all of those things. And that's honestly like I was saying this to my husband. I said, I finally like found my mission, outside of being the girl who's just giving that glow on the carpet and making somebody look beautiful, which has always been a joy for me because I love making women feel beautiful. That makes me have so much joy. Or grooming men, it's joy. But like how am I making an impact of change? That can affect the community at large. And I just believe like at some point we're called, to step up in our way, in our platform, in our box, and we make it happen.
Yes, I love that. So right now, if you in this present moment, I guess if you weren't a makeup artist, educator, brand owner, what else could you see yourself doing?
I'd be a writer.
A writer.
I would absolutely be a writer. I probably, if I had kept on dancing, I would probably be a choreographer or a dance teacher because I love teaching kids dance. That's like my favorite. Like I taught at Harlem School of the Arts for a little while when I was in New York and I was younger and I was still dancing pretty regularly. So they brought me in to teach, dance and movement and stuff. And I just loved working with younger people. It was awesome and giving back in that way. So that's probably what I would do and write. Those are like my passion. I love writing. You can see on Instagram, my things are novel level long. But it's because it's like I'm practicing getting myself back into writing because that's also part of my journey. I was, always in advanced writing classes in high school and even in college when I was at Howard. And writing was going to be a part of my life as a cultural anthropologist if I had graduated and went that way. So writing is really like something. I mean, I go through notebooks. It's crazy. I doodle a lot, but I write a lot too. So.
I like that. Okay. Can't wait for the books to come out.
Working, working.
But congratulations again on the Entreprenista 100. That's really, really exciting. And just to think about like the excitement in the room because the other awards that are still up for grabs that you don't know about that you can get.
I know that makes
Yeah.
me, it makes me a little nervous, but I'm like, I said to God today, I said, you know what, just even being awarded already is a blessing. If
Yeah.
anything bigger, it's like, you know, it's beyond me, you know,
Yeah.
but I'm just grateful and
Yeah.
happy for everybody because, you know, you have to apply for that. And it's like thousands of female entrepreneurs are across the nation, you know, are applying and,
Yeah.
you know, they pick 100. So it's really a big thing. And a lot of past people, you know, that we look at that have brands or even podcasters, and it's
Yeah.
all kind of people in there, all kind
Nice.
of people. It's
Nice.
amazing.
Have you gotten an award before?
Not for the, well, for the brand, we had a Marie Claire award. We
Okay.
got a Marie Claire magazine Game Changer award in 2022, actually for the diamond sponge. And that was a big deal for us. Like we have the seal and all of that, you know. But we haven't had any other awards, I would think, since then. I don't think so. For the brand itself, no. So this was a big deal for both me and the brand, you know. And I think we have more awards coming. I think that, you know, really, like we've been a full-fledged brand in the last 2 years. My first 6 months before that, which, you know, I had launched the lashes, and that's when I was around the time I was on your podcast, we didn't have 41 products. You know, we have 41 products now. We have basic necessity things like foundation, concealer. You know, we didn't have all that stuff. Now we have all of that implemented into the line. I've always snuck it into the makeup show a little early because I do believe makeup artists should have your products first. Just being a makeup artist, I know how much value, like when product is put in my hand, you know, if I'm using it, you know, I got it right here. Just, oh,
Yeah.
you know, it's here, you know, like,
Right.
and I'm gonna talk about it if I love it. And so, you know, that was my main goal, is like just making sure I'm getting it into like your hands and this one's hands and that one's hands and letting
Yeah.
people play with it.
Yeah. But I forget what year I met you at the makeup show for the first time. I think it
In
was 20.
DC, it was the DC one. It
It was
was like
before
20.
this. I met you in New York first. I have the
So that
pictures
was
to prove it.
2010. That was
2010?
2010. That was 2010. The like one of the first makeup shows. It was like 2010,
Dang.
2011. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to pull up the archive to see what year it was, but you were you had the flawless face,
Yep, the double stick.
the
Yep,
double
perfect
stick
blend.
foundation. What has changed with the brand as far as like how you're going about promoting the brand? What has changed from that iteration of Ashunta Sharif Beauty to like now?
Well, a lot, because that wasn't Ashunta Sharif Beauty. It
Okay.
was Perfect Blend by Ashunta Sharif, so a
Got
whole
you.
different brand. We only had the dual ended stick in 6 shades, and we had just a dual ended foundation brush. We hadn't evolved out past any other products because of the, you know, the hiccup that I had with the trademark infringement, which I spoke about the last
Okay.
time. If anyone archives your show, I remember talking about it. But I had a trademark infringement lawsuit put against me. That's what put me off QVC, because I was like one of the first few Black brands. I don't know if I was the first or maybe the second, but to go on QVC in 2012. And so what ended up happening, I was hit with trademark infringements from someone who owned Perfect Face. We didn't do our due diligence. I didn't know business the way I know it now. My partner didn't. And so that brand fully dissolved, and I had to pay, you know, per piece for all my inventory I had left. I had to get my inventory out of QVC's warehouse. It was a whole, it was a very, like, when I tell you, emotional time. I had to file bankruptcy. I had to really start over financially and with my credit. And so it just was really like a huge fail up, you know, that I learned so much from. And that's, you know, why I am probably the type of CEO I am now for Ashunta Sharif Beauty. I'm very well aware, like everything, you know, and if I'm not aware of it, I go figure out how to, I teach myself it. I sign up for a class for it. I go YouTube it. I learn it, because no one's gonna help you push your brand to the level of success if you're not about your business too. You know, people won't take you seriously. And so I was like, you know, this you I said to myself, you're gonna do this time. You're gonna do it not like as an artist, because that's not gonna make you successful. Your artistry will help you put support it, because I'm an artist, right? So I'll, of course, be using the product, doing tutorials, giving it to artists. They'll use it, or I'll use it on clients. But that the real success is going to be rooted in how it's how the foundation is built. And I had to get all the ducks in a row. So I understood business before, because this is a big thing to make a brand and then want to scale it to a global level. Listen.
Hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I need you to do something really, really important for me, like right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let the people know how much you love the Friends of Beauty podcast. See, in the podcast streets, I'm gonna let you know something. If you don't leave a review, then people don't know that the show exists, and then the show won't grow. Reviews are so essential to the continued success of the Friends of Beauty podcast, and plus, I really just want to know what you think about the podcast. I appreciate all the DMs, but a 5-star review would be even better. I would love to read your review on the show and give you a shout out for being a loyal listener. And if it's not a 5-star review, don't even worry about it. All right, don't even worry. Just go ahead and send me an email, honey. We ain't got time for that. If you're watching me on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and even leave a comment to share a takeaway from something that you learned so far. If you don't subscribe or give a thumbs up, then the YouTube streets don't know that the Friends of Beauty podcast exists either. You see how this is going? This is a group effort, and I appreciate you so, so much. Okay, I'm done. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode.
It is no joke. And people who may have, these drops in the bucket moments where they, you know, make millions of dollars really fast because they were able to do it really quick. You know, sustaining that is hard too. Mm-hmm. So it's like you want to have like a steady climb, you know, that's really building the community up and really like pouring into the community as well at the same time. Because you don't want to just be taking, you want to be giving too. Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot of things you have to learn that I just wasn't aware of at the mm-hmm. time.
And I feel like some of the things you just learn from experience, unfortunately, is like that, but it's going to help the next person by sharing even what you just shared.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be like, okay, before I start this brand, let me do my due diligence and check for the names and make sure it's not, you know, it's going to help somebody. But you got to do it.
You have to. And it's something so small. And the thing is, you know, it's like getting an NBA draft. I got drafted into the NBA, but all my records, everything is messed up. And so when it's time to sign paperwork, it's like, all of this is improper. We got to hold your draft off. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you literally like got the moment and like screwed it up, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then you look at that too, cause that's 12 years ago, you know, that I was on QVC mm-hmm. and now I'm doing this on my own. We 2 years in as of March, 2024, we'll be fully. Oh, that's my kids coming in. I'm on a podcast, guys. Hi, welcome home. So you know, you're driven and focused and stuff, but then you don't do your due diligence. It's like so traumatic. So yeah, if I can help anybody, definitely, you know, get your trademarks in order, you know, make sure all your paperwork is proper, you know, just make sure your team is proper. Don't hire people because they're your friends. Mm-hmm. Hire people because they're good at what they do. Have smarter people around you. My CFO is way smarter than me when it comes to business. Yeah. I'm smarter than her in marketing and editing and doing the fun things that's my strength. Know your strengths. Mm-hmm. But with all the other stuff, that's her, you know, like she has that brilliance and be open to collaborating. You know, sometimes it's not just about you. It's about the collective. Mm-hmm. And we have more success when we collaborate. And that's what also people have to understand, like having these moments of collaboration or highlighting another brand or whatever. These are just things that I honestly, like, I believe the consumer now, not from a makeup artist point of view, but the consumer looks at all of that like, okay, this is a real deal person. It's not just about, you know, a selfless mission. It's mm-hmm. it's tough to do that, you know, because when you have a brand, you eat, breathe, and sleep it. But what I have learned is that people, for me, if I'm still out here doing makeup, because I am still doing makeup, it's not realistic for me to just only speak my brand. I'm going to speak it, of course. Right. I'm going to use it, of course. But I'm also going to still be using other products because I'm still a working makeup artist. I haven't given it up yet.
Yeah. You said yet.
It's coming. It's going to have to come. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's really going to have to be a choice. But I still love department heading. I still love creating, doing fashion week looks and commercials and red carpet stuff. I still love doing that stuff. So it hasn't gotten to a place where I don't want to do it. Okay. I still love doing it. I've just been with some people recently, you know, so it's just that I can't do it like I wish. I have to really pick and choose and think like what I can and can't do.
Mm-hmm. So with you moving into retail, well, as far as TJ Maxx goes, moving into retail, how are you preparing behind the scenes to fulfill those orders or, you know, ship inventory and all of those things?
Whew, it is serious. TJ Maxx is no small feat. They have a lot of doors. And we're going into like a third of them. It's still a lot.
Wow.
and you know, quantities are the biggest quantities that I've ever sold in one shot to any one retailer. So it's an awesome, amazing thing. I'm very proud of me and of us for being just buttoned up and ready, you know, that big box retailers notice us. And I have to really thank Kendra Ferguson, I'm gonna mess up her name. I have to thank Brain Trust. Let's cut that out because I cannot say her name together. I never can, but please don't put that in there. I can never say her name together, but yes, Kendra from Brain Trust and the Brain Trust founder's house. They've just been so instrumental, I think, in a lot of women BIPOC brands that are their members and really putting us in front of these big box retailers.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting us right there. They did an event in Martha's Vineyard and, you know, they had like huge high profile people. I think even Michelle Obama came through the founder's house, and then they did a LA founder's house. And, you know, they had everyone from Macy's to Nordstrom's to Max. I mean, all these retailers came through so that they could see these BIPOC created women founded brands, and they just create this community that they want to see you win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like what I've realized too, Akua, is for me is about, it's about the community and who you surround yourself with, who you're aligned with. And I was like, you know what? My prayer has been literally since the pandemic, because the pandemic is where a lot of things shifted for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people had to make pivots and make decisions that were hard. My prayer was, you know, God align me with right people, situations, right places, right money, right circumstances that are, you know, aligned with you and my purpose for my life. And I'm just literally watching God dump these different people. And I mean, when I say dump, they're like, oh, Shunta, I need you to meet this person. Oh, nice. By the way, Shunta, you need, it's like crazy. And uh-huh. I thank God that I've been a nice person. I really do. I'm like, God, I'm grateful that for the most part, I've been a nice, kind person. If I've been a bitch to anybody on this podcast, I apologize right now. It probably was a bad time in my life. but real talk, no, I'm grateful that I'm a hugger, that I've been a nurturer and a loving energy overall. Because that energy is just, like I say, it's God shining through me, and now it's shining back on me, and I'm really thankful. I'm really grateful.
Yeah. How do you keep your ear to the street, or just as far as going about advocating for yourself and not waiting for those opportunities to come into your lap, like the entrepreneurista, entrepreneurista thing,
mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe pitching yourself to media to put your brand out there. Are you like, what is your strategy, I guess, behind advocating for yourself and for your brand?
I think for me that I another child coming home. Welcome home, Siani. I'm in a podcast. No, it's fine. I just wanted to say, hey. they coming in one by one. It's that time. how do I advocate for myself? One of the things that I got a piece of advice from a brand, we call each other sisters in glam. It's Kim Baker, who's founder of Glamazon Beauty. And I talk to her, like we talk weekly. Like we're such a good leaner.
I
we lean
Kim.
Into each other. Kim is amazing. And so we just kind of lean into each other. You know, when something happens good for her, she shares it. And I'm supporting her, vice versa. We share information. We just really like that with each other.
Yeah.
And something her and her daughter, Natasha, said to me one day, we were having one of our little powwow talks. And Natasha was like, you know, she took this class, this marketing class with this top marketing guru. Like he's brought to Harvard and all of that for like teaching people the success or secret to strategic marketing and really honing in. It's being relentless. It's being relentless. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for people sometimes because the ego, people are like, man, you ain't respond back to me. I'm not going to respond. People get like that.
Yeah.
It's hard for people. They take no response as a rejection so that you have that aspect. So then they kind of cower back from the situation, but you really got to stand on both legs and feet and everything and be like, I'm going to keep emailing you till you email me back. I just am. And I'm going to be in your face until you finally give me an answer.
Right. I tell people they have to be like, girl, I saw your email. The answer is no. Leave me alone. They would have to say that before I stop.
Me too. And so you know that to be true. So to get these grants money out here, you know, you applied 1 year, you didn't get it. Keep applying every year until you get it. You know, you do not stop. You have to be relentless. Because someone else is doing it. Someone else is being relentless. Someone else is sending those emails. I have literally a timer. I'm ridiculous. For retail buyer, beauty buyers, I have a schedule and everything. And they all have their email that I've sent to the different ones. Okay, they haven't responded. Here we go.
Yes, I love you know? That.
Yeah, because you're going to give me a response. I'm worthy of a response. No one is below responding to someone. Mm-hmm. And a response is just, it could be, hey, not right now. This isn't the right moment. Or it could be, hey, this isn't a good fit. It doesn't work, you know, for us because this isn't how our brand is. Boom. Or it could be, you know what? This is coming right on time. And that's what I tell people. You don't know the timing and how it's going to work out. So if you weren't relentless, you would never know. You know, you would never know.
Yeah, so true.
Babe, I'm on the podcast.
Curse me out.
No, because she's recording, babe.
I'm sorry. I said
I'm not cursing you out. I'm just telling you. And the dog is dancing. The dog is dancing. King, be like, she's almost done.
Gotta get walked. I'm sorry. You know, maybe you can be it's in the okay. room next time.
I'll go in the room next time. I'll go in the room next time because this is crazy. Sorry,
it's okay.
Sorry.
That's why it's gonna be all chopped up.
It's gonna be so good.
Sorry, we're living.
No, she knows you're living. I'm just, but I did announce that I had a pot. It's like the auditions. You announce it.
Hey, I'm
gonna
set them
up. See how the actors are. She works with actors. She know. Who keeps calling me? Jesus.
That is so funny. It's like when you're not doing anything. It's quiet. Nobody calls. Nobody texts.
Nobody cares.
That's how it be for me.
Oh my gosh. Your skin looks beautiful too, by the way. What are you doing? Mm. Jesus is so radiant.
So I'm a nice person. I like to say that. I always tell people it's mostly genetics. I like to say my skin is pretty even tone.
Mm-hmm. It
today
is.
I have on black opal foundation. And of course, I had to wear my Ashunta Sharif. Unicorn 2.
Oh, you got your okay. Yes. I'm like, there's a nice glow going on.
Oh yeah.
But I didn't even know what. Okay, look, we got both got ours. Look, mine's was right here because I actually did my whole look with this palette.
Nice. Literally.
So I used you know, the plum and the purple and the pink, and then I just put the shimmer on top. Yeah, it's all done. I do this all the time.
Wow. So that's what I was going to ask you too. Who would you say that Ashunta Sharif Beauty is for, or, you know, your avatar, just because like the neon, you know, mascara, everybody's not going to wear that. Just like the certain colors and everything. Like, who would you say your ideal avatar is for like the brand?
She's for the trap, the world traveler. She's for the experimental beauty enthusiast. She's for the pro makeup artist. She's for the newbie, even, you know, who's just looking to have fun new products in her collection and to diversify her makeup because she's tired of black eyeliner. She wants to have a blue eyeliner that turns neon under UV lights. You know,
yes.
She's the girl who goes to Coachella. She goes to, you know, Renaissance tours because she's going to be glowing under those lights.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just think of her like me. She's a Renaissance woman. She does all things. She's a mom. She's a teenager. She's a grandmother. She's all women's and she's all people because we have everybody, literally everyone. We have the whole LGBT plus community is rocking our products.
Uh-huh.
mature women, oh, I mean, all the way up into their 80s are rocking our magnetic lashes. And then we have down to, I have a couple of influencers who love our products. They're not even 9 years old, you know, like, so, yeah. So, you know, we just have really like, I would say, you know, we're definitely that makeup artist founded brand that will make you feel like the beginning of a MAC or Makeup Forever. It has that feeling to it, because it really just, it encompasses that same philosophy of like all races, all ages, all sexes. And that was one of the things that, you know, moved me to even want to get a job at MAC in the beginning of my career, because it was for everybody. It was for girls that had red and blonde and orange dreadlocks. That was a brown skinned girl from Harlem that looked like me.
Right.
You know, I couldn't get that job at Prescriptives or, you know, at Lancome or Estee Lauder as easy, you know, because of the look that I had. You know, we both had locks. So I don't have locks anymore. I wish I did, you know, it's a certain look. And so it wasn't always something that was marketable on a retail sales floor. And MAC, you know, it was people there with blue hair, pink hair, dreads, no dreads, bald, piercings.
Right.
And it was, everybody was welcome, you know, and that's the nutshell. Ashunta Sharif Beauty welcomes everybody, you know.
Yeah. When you were originally crafting this brand, did you already have in mind the type of products that you wanted as far as, just from your experience as a makeup artist, did you say like, I want like this type of product, and then you had to go and make it?
Some of the things actually, you know, are the manufacturers pre-existed, like our foundation form bottle pre-existed. They had the bottle and I saw it, but I didn't like the formula. So there's products that they existed within that private label collection of the manufacturer, but we just tweaked the formulation, you know. And then there's other products like Thermal Blush. It was manufactured from the ground up, you know, like there was another pH color changing blush on the market and it was viral and going crazy, and then it kind of fell off, and a beauty manufacturer sent me a sample of the product and I was like, this is crazy, it looks like gloss but it's blush, and
right.
I was like, this is really cool. And I said, you know, I'm a techie kind of makeup artist, you know, so it's like, it's not far-fetched for me to have like weird technical things in my kit, you know, especially when I'm in the trailer, I'll have like all kind of weird things. Like, why does she even have this? But it'll come in handy. Yeah. You know, like I'm like one of the few department heads that probably keeps all kind of weave hair. Like I have all types of textures and people are like, why do you have all this hair? I'm like, you never know. And literally I had to build a beard one day out of scratch and I had the hair. I didn't have to go look for it. Didn't have to order it. I was able to build it, you know? Okay. So I'm always thinking ahead. I'm MacGyvering situation. So when I seen the neons, you know, I have this on now, which this is how they look in normal lighting. They're just really pigmented gel liners that are waterproof and long wearing. You know, when you get that UV light, which I was supposed to bring out here, but of course I forgot to have it. I forgot it upstairs, Zach on it. But, you know, when you put that UV light on, I saw the glow. It was just like, oh, this is awesome. You know, so I think the product line has kind of like, how can I put it? It's kind of come to me, you know, like I think I have a really keen eye for what's right on the precipice of bursting the seams in beauty. Mm-hmm. And mainly because I had to do it for so many brands. You know, I did it for a lot of brands. They would send me the samples first, the white labels, you know, with CoverGirl. I'm talking about big brands. Test these out. What are your thoughts? Like I've done that behind the scenes for a lot of brands. Mm-hmm. And so in knowing formulation and knowing what's going to be hot, what's next on the scene, you know, to come out as a product, I took all that knowledge that I did for brands and I do it for myself. I also look at the lay of the land. I look at what my other sisters, especially women of color, I'm saying, have their brands. I look at what they have. Mm-hmm. You know, what can I do that's different from them? Because I'm not trying to step on their toes. You know, I don't want to literally offer the same products as other people. So I take more time, I think, too, in putting out product, because I have to make sure I'm putting out stuff that really is a part of the brand's evolution and where it's going, but also, you know, giving you the trends too at the same time.
Yeah, I like that healthy balance, healthy medium. What's working now for the brand?
I mean, Thermal Blush is still like, it's getting neck and neck, but these multi-chrome glosses, girl, these things, we've sold out already twice, like literally. And we just got them. We just launched them. So these are coming in really like hot, second to Thermal Blush. Our vegan matte lip creams, you know, these sell. Like, we have a regular group of customers who just order them regularly. Nice. I'm almost ready to put them on subscription because people have a couple of colors like that. They're like, this is my everyday color. Like, I wear this every, I'm like, really? You know, because I'm a makeup artist. We change stuff all the time. Like, I may want to wear red today. Well, let's be honest. We don't wear makeup every day.
You know, this is for you.
Let's be honest. But when we do put on our makeup, we tend to try to make it look different every time we're doing it, whether it's a change of a lip or a change of an eye. We try to just do something. And then we got our stamp face, you know, like, this is our face. But it shocks me sometimes. I'm like, dang, they really got a staple color in the vegan matte lip creams. And they do. They order them every couple of months on time. And I'm like, so it's amazing, you know, seeing that growth. Our black powder is amazing. So it's so many products that, like, they all do really well. They all do really well. I would say what's, believe it or not, taking a back seat in sales is our lashes. Because once all the other, and it's funny, that's what kind of launched the brand. So they still sell. They just not the number one seller. They were the hero product for a long time. And then Thermal Blush came and was like,
wow.
So, okay. Yeah. So it's been, I mean, but we still love our Max. We love our Magnetize. They're beautiful and amazing. And I told my partners literally at our last meeting last week, I said, I think it's time for a new box collection. Because sometimes that could be just what it is, like, you know, the people who love those styles, but maybe they want to see some new ones, you know, something fresh. So we're thinking about an anniversary box.
Nice. Always got to be innovative and just stay on top of things. And oh my gosh. Would you say you're a product junkie? Like, personally?
If I turn my camera to the table, you would be like, what the hell? And this is just me doing my own makeup. It's crazy. I have so much product. So much product. I have a storage unit that houses my actual makeup kit, which my makeup kit value is at like $57,000. My working kit that I go into the studio, you know, into productions with. And then, you know, I go through that kit, like, mostly try to, like, at the end of every production, you know, throwing out stuff that's old or whatever. But because I haven't had a production because of the strike and it's been kind of slow to get back to start it, it's just sitting in storage. But yeah, I got it's the size of like a nice walk-in closet, like, like a nice walk-in closet with clothes, but it's all full of makeup. And then I have storage here at my house, which is driving my family crazy because it's kind of busting out the seams here. And it's because product is coming in too. It's not just my brand. Because I still, like I said, love products. People, you know, see I do videos and they're like, oh, we'll try this out. And so they just keep sending it.
That is me all day. I just put together maybe 3 boxes of stuff over the holidays. Like, one day I was like, okay, I'm gonna let my friends go through this, I'm gonna give these to my goddaughter, and then this is for me. Like, I had my little stash, like, I think I want to keep this for myself. But yeah, people just send me stuff all the time, and I'm just like, well, where am I gonna put this stuff?
It's a blessing, but it's a little bit of a curse too, because it's overwhelming and it's you know, so much after a while. I mean, literally, I probably at minimum 2 to 3 boxes is coming here a week, from skincare to makeup, and sometimes even clothing. Like, it'd be random stuff, like, we want you to try this hoodie on, you know. So it's a blessing, though. I don't complain. It's just I just now I'm like, God, I need larger quarters to endure my brand space as well as all these other brands.
Right. You know? Are you still doing like fulfillment and stuff yourself, or do you have a warehouse or fulfillment center or anything yet?
We have found our fulfillment center, and we're gonna start with them either late April, early May. It took us time because my partners were like, you know, we had one place that we saw that we were going to work with, and they were in California, and it just really made more sense for us to have fulfillment closer to us in New York City. And so our office is in New York. Like, so we found a place in Jersey, and they're not far away at all. And it's woman owned.
Okay.
So, and she said, women owned and women ran. I said, sounds like my business. So yeah, let's do it. Yeah. So very excited.
I know you're big on supporting other like BIPOC brands.
Yes. And stuff like that. Important. It's super important. It's become a part of my mission, because I was, you know, having a conversation with God, a real conversation. And I was just like, you know, what can I do to use my leadership that I've put almost 3 decades into the industry, to shine light on. And that's when it hit me. It actually hit me one day. I was looking at Huda Beauty. And I was looking at her page, and she was actually speaking out about what was happening in Israel and giving her opinions on it. And she was, she confidently was like, you know, if you feel this way to, you know, to camera, then I don't want your money, you know? And there's something very powerful in that. Her brand, first off, is a multi-billion dollar brand, right? And she could easily focus only on Huda Beauty, easily. But she has learned how to find this balance between her passion and love and enthusiasm for products. And she talks about products, influencers, tips, trends, skincare, outside of her brand all the time. And I just was like, that's very powerful. She's highlighting other women. She's highlighted me in her blog that she has. And meanwhile, you know, I have a brand. So I'm like, why can't I do that as a Black woman for other Black women and for other, you know, minority business owners, you know, BIPOC, just some people to the audience, is BIPOC is Black Indigenous people of color. And that's a huge percentage of the world's population. That's like three quarters of it. It's all of us, you know, it's Indigenous people, it's Latinx group, it's your Asian population, it's everything that's not white. It's a lot of people. And we have a lot of hues in these multiple cultures, you know, in all these cultures, this very diverse group of hues. If you go to India, I just came from there working on Ava DuVernay's movie, Origin. I hope your audience goes to see Origin. It is a life-changing movie. I did Anjanou Ellis-Taylor for the movie. But I will say, going to India, you know, I got to see that, oh, these are our cousins. These are cousins. These are direct cousins to African people. You know, like, you see the color range, it's there. And, you know, even going up throughout parts of Asia, when I toured with Alicia, we went to Malaysia, we were in Kuala Lumpur, and a waiter came up and he was so chocolate. And Alicia, I remember saying, like, where are you from? Because we were out eating. And he said, I'm from Sri Lanka. And so you're like, wow, it is melanated people. You know, we hear about it, we read about it, but to see it face to face in real time, it like really makes you understand like why having BIPOC brands are necessary, because we are all over the planet. We're all over the planet. And we're not going anywhere. And we need brands that support that. And we should have more than 15% shelf space, you know, in we don't even have that. We don't even have 15% shelf space. I'd like to rephrase that. You know, I think we're really realistically at more like less than 8%. And most Black owned and BIPOC brands, especially specifically to Black owned women founded brands, they're the least funded. You know, they're funded less than 1% compared to, you know, women, you know, of other ethnic groups or races, you know. So there's so much, there's so much still to change and to work on. And so using my voice, using my platform to amplify these BIPOC brands, if I can do that and I can actually, you know, lend into some support and change for them to grow, to scale, expand, to be noticed by people, because people believe me as a makeup artist. They believe that I do know what good product is, and that I know what is going to be lasting and wearable and all those types of things. They trust me, you know, I'm a trusted source. So I got to do more than just make makeup. You know what I mean? It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that for me. And I think that us as a community, we have, and this is just me speaking very honestly, that so many of us have seen a lack of support in certain areas. And we you know, we make it through 10 no's, right? So we get that mentor that goes, yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the olive branch and help grow your career, you know, as a makeup artist or as a brand founder or whatever it may be. And it took 10, going through 10, 20 people to find that one person that really like was like, I believe in you, I'm gonna help you, whatever. And I think those experiences leading up to the one success, it hurts so much. Sometimes that's why people get jaded. So I say all of this to say, I think sometimes people don't believe that I'm this real and genuine, but you know this, Akua. They think it's for show or for fluff or whatever. No, I'm really this person. If you met me, I'm like, girl, give me a hug. You know, I'm that girl, because I was raised by parents who really taught me the importance of support in your community. And my community was Harlem, and my community was Black, and it was Spanish. Mm-hmm. And you look out for your neighbors. And I ran out of a cup of sugar, and I can ring my neighbor's doorbell and get a stick of butter, or she may need a sugar. That's how I grew up. I was raised in the 70s and the 80s. Yeah. And that kind of philosophy in our community, just as many things, has gotten broken through, you know, all types of things. We don't systemic things that have happened to the Black and Hispanic community, you know, from drugs to incarcerations. There's so many things. So, yeah, how can a makeup artist help that, right? Mm-hmm. I prayed on this, and I can, because by pouring into women, especially Black women, and Afro-Latina and Latinx women, specific businesses, I'm pouring into their children. Mm-hmm. And when we pour into those women, we pour into those families, which help to change. It actually changes things, because we're the women, right? We mostly are raising kids. Yeah. So change happens when we change, then we help to change our children. And as we change our children through our financial aspect, because we're able to afford things, we're able to put them in the schools that are in better districts, we're able to get them private tutoring, we're able to put them in music classes and piano classes, because those things cost money. Yes. You know, to get your child cultured the way you would like your child to be cultured,
just to be well-rounded,
you know. Mm-hmm. So there's more to life than just the street and the block and gang banging and all that type of stuff. So I feel like everyone can do some level of change where they're at, no matter where they are and what business they're in. Mm-hmm. So mine will be changed through beauty economically by helping BIPOC brands, because as I pour into them, the economics will pour into our community, and that will help our community. And that's my mission.
And it's as simple as that, because I really feel like a lot of times, even myself, when I'm trying to think about how I could be more intentional about giving back, or you know, just things like that, or how I can make a bigger impact within my community. Sometimes I might be thinking a little bit too big. Like, this, you know, I mean, it's things that I want to do that's grand, but it could be just as simple as supporting the brands, you know,
to keep the
ecosystem going.
And just in doing so, you know, that energy is recyclable energy, because when you're pouring into others, people are pouring into you. It's just how energy works. Mm-hmm. It's a natural flow. We can't change universal law. It's just how God set it up. Universal law is, I pour into others, they pour into you. And you're not pouring into others to be poured on, but it's just going to happen, right? Because it's reciprocal. So I know that I'll be flowered at some point, you know, and I am being flowered now. I got flowers being an entrepreneur, you know, like, that's phenomenal. That's a flowering. Yeah. And so, you know, we can't look at always doing things for the immediate benefit for ourselves. It's for the greater cause and a greater purpose. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm around real game changing women. I have to be honest, like, you know, working with people like Ava DuVernay, you know, who, you know, everyone was saying no, 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 but she got this movie made. She found the funding, didn't have a lot of promotions, didn't get a lot of nominations, even though it was really deserving of it, yeah. So on so many levels. But, you know, every week it's expanding, and more people are seeing it with grassroots promotion, you know. So I'm around game changing women, that trickles down on you. Like, I worked with Alicia for 13 years. I watched this young woman in her 20s, you know, like, will 300 a man crew, you know, she was 20 some years old, and it's 300 of us touring the globe, and mm-hmm. and she's the head of it, you know. And she didn't know, nobody gave her a rule book, but she, you know, learned. She was just really showcasing me at a very early time in my life of what a boss looks like, you know. Mm-hmm. I had to watch her boss up sometimes. And so, and then I worked with Diddy, you know, and you already know, mm-hmm. like, you know, we won't speak on it too long, you know, but there's so much you learn being around moguls and around people who are successful, and it definitely trickles down on you. You learn stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Would you say it's a lot of gatekeeping, quote unquote, when it comes to wanting to do your own products or create your own beauty line?
You notice I started to sweat a little bit when you asked me that question. you know, I keep it real with you, Akua. There is some gatekeeping. You know, it's so funny. I won't say names, but my business partners, I have four, it's four of us, and three of them, just so the world knows, Shani and me are two women of color, and my other two partners are a woman named Anita, who's a white female, and Jonathan, her son, and
Okay.
he's LGBTQ plus. So, you know, we're really like a diverse group of people. My other partner, she's over 75. I'm sorry, Anita, I didn't mean to put your age out there. But you know, just a range, a diverse range of people, and we get such a great perspective, right, Pat? Because we're all kind of from different walks of life. I'm answering your question. So we were literally talking about this because we were wondering why we weren't getting some responses from this specific person, and the person gave a response back finally. And mind you, she's friends with my partner. She's friends with him, and her responses to him were lovely, da da da. But when I wrote, it was like, yeah, it was. And so when I showed my partner, who's, you know, Anita, she was in shock. She said, this doesn't even seem like her. Like, it's like night and day. And I said to her, I said, you know, there's sometimes some closet racism happening because sometimes people don't feel like I should be there. And that's just as simple as that. And so there is some level of gatekeeping, you know, and it's happening across not just beauty, it's in all industries. You know, it took all these high-end department stores like Neiman's, I believe, and Nordstrom's to finally carry four fashion brands by Black men. I mean, by Black people, not Black men, but by Black designers. And we've and they and some of them been designing for well over a decade. So the clothes were there. So it's just, you know, there's this slow movement to making it happen because, you know, we just haven't, I feel like, as a group, operated in a way that shows the system how powerful we are within it. We've done it on a very small scale level, but not on the level that we really have the power to do it, like on a Kanye level. And Kanye's is as much as people may say what they say, the man has certain brilliance, right? To have an ad spend of $7 million and then come out with 19 million, but then you've got all these other, you know, analytics to help build your whole brand offer from that. You know, just really brilliant, brilliant stuff. And it's like we can do that. We cannot. We killed Adidas by not buying Yeezys. Like we made them lose money. That's how powerful Black people are. We shop down and we support everybody, but sometimes ourselves. And so, you know, I'm also not absolved from that. I love Louis Vuitton, I love Gucci, I love nice things, luxury things, but we make luxury things too. And so I've had to make some redirections in my life. Because and I'll bring it to something that's so simplistic. When you go to Japan, it's a lot of Japanese stores. It's Japanese makeup lines, Japanese skincare lines, it's Japanese clothing brands, shoe brands, home stores, all Japanese. All. And then occasionally you'll see the Armanis, the Guccis, but it's more Japanese business in Japan than our outside retail business. And so why wouldn't we as you know, a minority group of people. And I hate using the word minority because I don't believe minorities are a minority when we make up most of the world. I'm just saying, you know, why wouldn't we have that capability to like really switch things, you know? And that's why I say it could be a literal, like, oh, I tried this makeup remover, you know, let me try this one instead. Oh, yeah, there's a Black girl sunscreen. Let me start buying that one. Oh, there's a serum made by Black girl, you know, and it's just little tiny
Switches.
switches and give because we gave those products a shot. We tried them and we didn't know them from Adam. All we did was what? Hear about them. You know, we heard that L'Oreal Paradise Eyelash was giving us the biggest volume based on ad campaigns, based on all that stuff. So, you know, we have to not have distrust for our Black, you know, and minority brand founders in the beauty and skincare space and give them a chance.
About saying, give them a chance, even when they make a mistake. Don't just write them off right
Oh
away.
my
Like, we
gosh,
be
that's
so quick to
what
want to just be like, oh no, I ain't doing that no
oh
more.
my God, oh my goodness, you know, and you know, I went through that with my whole lash fiasco, and you know that story where I was manufacturing in, you know, my lashes overseas, and it was Chinese holiday, and it was like all the orders came in, and it was like back order, and that people were like cussing me out like a dog, and I had never had this business before, but what I was saying to people, because I was getting so emotional over it, and they all got rectified, and I sent everybody their refunds, and I shipped all the product out, and some people I refunded and shipped the product out. And so I took a hit my first year in business because of that. And for me, it was more important about building customer belief that we were a real brand, and, you know, we were a real business, and to take us seriously. And hey, you know, forgiveness, grace, mercy, you know, I'm not going to be perfect. It's my first year really doing this, because when we came out with Perfect Blend, you know, in 2012, there wasn't an e-commerce world like it is now. It was much, much smaller. Yeah. And so we were literally straight to QVC. That's a whole different brand model. And so I think people don't give anyone grace and mercy. And I see, like, they don't even go to Macy's and complain like this. And Macy's makes huge mistakes, and Big Box makes big mistakes too. Right. I've had plenty of orders that have come in that were wrong, you know,
okay. And I don't, missing stuff.
Or missing stuff, or we back ordered your item, you know, meanwhile, you're like, oh my God, they didn't even tell me that. So it's like, when we do it, it's like, you scamming me. You're like, no, we're running the same type of business like Macy's, just is very, very small. You know, it's where your products are coming. Be patient. You know, we're in touch with you every step of the way. And it's just really tough, you know, when you're a small niche brand like that, people are really tough on you. The customer complaints are crazy, you know? It's hard. And, you know, you just have to, I don't know, I've learned to handle it with grace for myself, because you can take those kind of things really personal. Cause we have we have Judge Me, you know, which gives you your star review. So I would say realistically, we have 80% 5 stars, which is great for a business. Great. But the one or couple, 2-3 stars we have, and I don't even count the threes. The threes are usually like, the product was good, but this happened with shipping or whatever. Or my product was back ordered, and when it came, I loved it. You know, that's what the threes usually are. But them ones, you know, it's like one lady said to me, I put on your vegan matte lip cream and it came off. And I wrote her back and I said, it came off? I said, because it rarely comes off once it's dry. Oh, I had to let it dry? I said, yeah, it has dry time, and you need at least a good 5 minutes for it to fully dry, and then it's not coming off. I said, I've had to eat a salad, you know, where the oil is, and she was like, oh, but she went straight to the finger, straight to the keyboard, and was like, this doesn't do anything it says. But meanwhile, and I'll investigate. That's the kind of brand founder I am. I look at all of those complaints.
Because if it really didn't work, I would want to know, like, what happened?
Yeah, what happened? Like, did you get a crazy batch that I'm not aware of? Like, because I know the track record. Like, a lot of makeup artists are using it, and they're like, yo, this stuff don't move. You know, they tell me. So, and I know myself. So it was just crazy. So, you know, you just have to like work with those circumstances and really like not let yourself get upset about it, because it could put a whole moment on you that makes you feel like you're not doing good and you're failing. And, you know, people can be really mean. So yes, if people are watching this, be kinder to these small businesses, these small podcasts. Like, if you don't start your podcast on time, people are like, girl, it didn't come out. Why did it come out? I've been waiting for your show. You know, people want to complain.
Yeah. Not over here at Friends and Beauty. We release episodes every Wednesday, nonstop.
She's like, that is not our journey. We are on time. Yes, I understand.
I went out the country in December, and I had to have my best friend upload it for me because the Wi-Fi was so trash over there. I said, I will not miss a Wednesday. I had to give her all my information. Like, please. And it took her forever to figure it out. But I was like, please, I can't miss a Wednesday. Girl.
And that's part of brand dedication as a, you know, you being the founder of your podcast, you know, you gotta sometimes employ people to help you, you know, because you can't always do it all. And, you know, you're on a vacation and it's still, you know, I gotta get this podcast out. You have to eat. Sleep,
I realized some adjustments I need to make just from that moment. I said, okay, now it's time to get a virtual assistant, because I should not be worried about this while I'm on vacation. I should be trying to enjoy myself. But here I am for almost 2 days trying to download an episode, and like, it was just too much. So I was like, yeah, I need a VA now.
No, that's smart. That's smart. And that's the part of the, you know, being in tune with your brand and seeing like where I have to make an investment at to grow.
I wanted to ask you too, before you go, Because you mentioned collaboration earlier, and I feel like I have the hardest time collaborating with people. People will come to me and say that they want to collaborate on things. We may talk about it, but it literally like never ever happens. Do you have any advice on successfully collaborating with people, like things that you should be looking for, or maybe you should be having meetings every so often? I have no idea, but it just literally never works. It never.
I think when a collaboration is coming into to pass between, maybe you and someone else, a partnership, you have to definitely continue this discussion. And it's like you gotta, the same way you kind of map all your stuff out with friends and beauty, it's like now this partnership or this collab you're doing is like a little sidebar thing that you're gonna do, but you gotta kind of go about it the same mapping. Like I have a collaboration I'm in discussions with this brand of doing this brand collab, and it would be awesome for me. But it wouldn't go forward if I didn't do due diligence to be relentless, because that the team over there, that team which we're who wants to collaborate with me, though they want to collaborate with me, they're very busy because they're already thriving, successful, doing what they do. So it's like in order for me to push it forward, I gotta be kind of on it. And so that's, just it's the same kind of relentlessness. Like, hey, let's set up a meeting. Let's, try to talk about, mapping out what the next steps are, putting things down on paper, and just really kind of chipping away at your checklist. And that's how those partnerships actually start to, you'll start to watch them materialize. I have a few things. I know exactly what you're saying. I was trying to put together award ceremony for Black beauty creatives. I really wanted to do something that highlighted us in a very special way, kind of like how Essence Beauty Awards used to be, but even a little more extensive than that. And so I called on a few people to partner with, and we had a conversation or two, and they fell by the wayside because I was busy, they were busy. But I noticed from that, I was like, you know what? I don't want this to happen. So now when I have potential partnerships coming up, now I realize I got to do my part. If it's something I really want to make happen that I think will have an impact on the brand, on the brand success, because that's all entrepreneurs are trying to do is be successful, kind of like by any means, with their brands, and so partnerships that are going to amplify and elevate your brand are wise things to do. And if it makes sense for both people, be relentless about it.
Yeah, gotta be relentless, that part. Okay.
Because you already are relentless for friends and beauty, so now you just gotta shift it over to the collaboration and just think of that collab, even though it's not fully yours, it's kind of like 50-50. It's you and whoever you're collaborating with. It's still kind of like it's still kind of an offspring of friends and beauty, So being that now you have this extension growing outward, you think about brands like Target is a brand itself, but Target has brands that they have within the store in every category, in cleaning and clothing, and so even though they got Target, they got all these subsidiary brands within it. And so we have to, I think, to be successful, we have to start thinking in that kind of way, because big brands are doing that all the time
Different departments within our brand.
within your brand that are doing different things. And that's also too how you're start. It's almost like creating multiple streams of income too for yourself, because oh, this collaboration's doing this, oh, that collaboration's doing that, but then Friends in Beauty is doing this. So that's those are collaborations are very smart.
Is there anything coming up next for Ashunta Sharif Kendricks or Ashunta Sharif Beauty that we should know about?
What is most pressing that's happening. I mean, the makeup show is this weekend, but I don't think you'll make it. That'll be passed. We'll be at the makeup show this spring in New York City, so I could talk about that definitely. We are almost crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but we're possibly going to be at the Modern Wife Conference, which is amazing. And it's a basically like a just a big event that really highlights female entrepreneurship. It's a community of high profile entrepreneurs who have been serial entrepreneurs or multi-hyphenated entrepreneurs, and they come together as a community to highlight, do panelists, and do things of that nature.
Nice.
So,
Okay, I'm so excited. This has been great. I could talk to you all day. Like, I need to. Do you ever come to DC?
I haven't been to DC for a while, but I'm trying to make some things happen with Howard University. So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
I'll let you know for sure when I'm coming.
Okay, if I come to Chicago or New York or something, I
Yeah, if
don't
you come to New York, definitely let me know because I'm there pretty much almost monthly.
know. Okay, cool, Viz. Well, before I let you go, I have to ask you the Friends of Beauty rapid fire questions again.
Okay, go ahead.
So whatever comes to your mind first, you can spit it out. If you need to elaborate, that's fine. So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Wait, what did you say?
What are the top three keys to your success so far?
That's my husband is talking.
It's okay.
Babe. Babe. We can hear you talking. She's recording. I'm sorry. It's for a live podcast.
Men don't realize how much
Okay.
their voices carry.
No, I know. Okay. So ask me the questions again. Go ahead.
So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Being relentless is definitely one of the keys. Being creative is definitely one of the keys. And the last key to success is just being a forever optimist. Even in the worst situation, I believe you're gonna feel a certain way when things aren't going your way or things aren't moving the direction you want them to move. But what you have to do is like mentally pivot and tell yourself this will pass. This is just a moment, and you get through those things. And what am I supposed to learn from this moment? And I think that's definitely like one of my biggest things I tell myself is this too shall pass. And what am I supposed to learn from this?
Yeah, absolutely. How do you measure your success?
I measure my success by people who tell me my products are amazing. Like in terms of as a brand founder, that is like when people, I mean, we get so many emails, texts, DMs, so many people loving the product. And we've had thousands and thousands of people buying our product in the last 2 years. And like I could cry sometimes. It just makes me so happy because that's all I want is to make a product line that people really enjoy. I want makeup to be fun. We're not healing cancer, but we could potentially heal cancer if we make enough money that we could pour into organizations. That's the thing. That's the power of beauty. The more successful, I think so many people have and I don't want, when we talk about gatekeeping, but just really speaking on this because I think it's important. There's so many people who have had so much success and we wish they've done so many other things, for the community. There's those who's definitely doing things because it's not all about who's highlighting it, who's showcasing it. But we definitely know like those who have just not done much, And so I just feel like, when I'm successful or Danessa's successful or Kim's successful or Kim Roxy from, Lamique Beauty's successful or Black Beauty Collective successful or you're successful, like I said, we really shape and change the community. And it's not just about us looking fly and having luxury items. It's about really like making some real economic changes that can empower our community. And so that's a flex that we could grow our brands to that level to make impact. It's a big deal.
It is a serious business.
So when you said, like I be thinking too big, don't ever say that. Don't ever say play yourself small. Do think big, think huge of where, because, I remember hearing a pastor at I forgot the church, Lord have mercy, and that's right on the tip of my tongue, but because I would love to credit him, but I would just remember hearing this pastor say that he was like, God is a creative God. God is a designer. God is an architect. And if God is creator of all things and the architect of all things and created you, then God has implemented everything in you to be able to manifest things beyond your wildest dreams. Because God has no ceiling for us. There is no ceiling literally for us. We make those ceilings for ourselves through ego. We make those ceilings for ourselves through self-sabotage, which sometimes is related to ego. We make those ceilings for ourselves through fear. We make those ceilings for ourselves because we self-worth issues. When we fully realize like our full potential and that we're capable of doing and being anything, and that because God is capable of doing and being anything, like it's literally a very powerful thing. So even, yeah, just even being a makeup artist, or even just having a being a makeup artist who founded a podcast, you can actually really change people's lives, and you can actually impact them, and affect them. Mm-hmm. And that's like the biggest flex that I feel, you know, and that's, I give all of the thanks and gratitude to God, because it's not me. It's not me. And so that feeling is, you can be as big as you want to be. It's really up to you, you know, and I don't mean big in the world of fame and stuff, but successful, you know, success doesn't have to be fame. Right. Success could be that your podcast has reached millions of people, and you've impacted people, and you've helped people change. You may have found some woman who, you know, was like, dag, I'm gonna become a makeup artist through listening to her podcast, and it changes her life. Mm-hmm. And she's doing celebrities 5 years later because she's followed your podcast. We never know how we're impacting people in our day-to-day life through what we do. But also through our choices, because we can negatively impact people and we can positively impact people through our choices. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think about all of those things in every word I utter out my mouth and every choice that I make, even, you know, even the anger and rage I may have had over clients and stuff, you know, I don't have that with me now. Like, people are like, you look so joyful. And I am, because I realize, like, you know, like, though, whatever the journey is for other people, it's their journey. And sometimes when the journey comes to an end, it's not because it's bad. It's because it was necessary for me to do what I needed to do. I wouldn't be a Shunta Sharif Beauty had certain things have not happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything leads you. It's a staircase leading you to the next thing, taking you up that staircase. And that staircase, because of God, is infinite. It's just up to us how high we willing to go up that staircase.
Right. Yes. Okay. Okay. What's the best advice you've ever received, or a piece of advice that's always stuck with you?
I would say the one of the biggest pieces of advice was just always be kind, you know. Mm-hmm. Be kind to everyone, from the PA, which is on sets, is the personal assistant that's running around, schlepping around for everybody. You know, it's a hard job and they're the least paid. Mm-hmm. And they work really brutal hours. And so big up to all the people who start as PAs and elevate through the industry to becoming ADs and directors and all that stuff, you know, like, mm-hmm. So just learning how to be kind to even like the quote unquote lowest on the totem pole. Right. And because those people, at some point in time, their career changes and they grow. And I've had people literally be people's personal assistants in real life, or people's personal assistants on set life, and they grew to be executives in real life. And they're running companies right now. They're CEOs. I know people who are literally assistants who are now CEOs. And because I was kind to them and I was nice to them, they never forgot me on the journey. Yeah. They look out for me, like during the pandemic. Yo, you want to do this commercial? Like, my first jobs were coming from relationships that I had that were decades old. Mm-hmm. Because people were just like, yo, you're not working, boom, let me help you, you know. So it's that kind of kindness to anyone, no matter who they are. And also to give grace, because maybe if someone's not nice too, because I've had that experience where I met someone I really looked up to, they weren't nice at first,
yeah,
and it was like kind of like, you know, and met them another time and it was like night and day. So sometimes you never know what people are going through. So I give people three times, you know, to just be a complete a-hole.
Okay,
they got three times. No, I do. I give them three times. And on the third time, that's just ingrained in who you are. That's right. Just who you are at that point. So I'm not going to be able to change that or affect that. Mm-hmm. Because that's ingrained in you. So yeah, you bye. but you know, if somebody can come back, and I've done it too myself, where I've had to come back to people and be like, I am so sorry for my behavior. I was hungry, you know, I hadn't eaten, you know, or I was exhausted, or I just had a fight, you know, like, or, you know, whatever it is, because we're all living this human existence together.
Exactly. All having the same human experience.
Yep. So being more kind, I think more kindness is needed in the world. I think people don't even understand, like, just being kind to people, how much of life, how much of the world energetically would change. Mm-hmm. You know, kindness in your driving, kindness in opening doors for people, kindness in holding a door for a person, kindness in saying, excuse me, thank you. Just basic human kindness
right.
Can really, like, change, radicalize. It would literally radicalize the planet. And, you know, a lot of people, it's just a pocket of people that really operate on that level, because like we all running around protecting ourselves and scared to let people in, scared to be kind, scared of people taking advantage of us. But, you know, we can't, if we're full of faith, that's what I always say. If you're full of faith, there's no fear, you know. Faith and fear don't coexist together. So you can't have fear over that lost job. You can't have fear over that lost client. You can't have fear over that lost company. You can't have fear over that lost marriage. Like whatever circumstance that is lifing for you at that time, you have to, of course, grieve through it, get through it, but know that you're gonna live through it and still go through it with kindness.
Yes, Pastor Ashunta. Yes. You better preach.
Listen, I try.
I love it. What advice would you give to another beauty brand owner right now who is just feeling stuck? They're not seeing the results that they want, you know, in their business, and they're just ready to give it up.
Again, back to the word relentless again. You have to be relentless. Figure out, like, you know, if you're a makeup artist and you founded a brand, you have a secret weapon. You do the makeup on yourself. Actually, Danessa was the one to tell me that. So, you know, from my sis Danessa, who's big shout out to her, she poured into me, you know, and was like, you're beautiful, you have a great face, you know what you're doing, like use that face, use your face. And I'm like, people don't want to see my face. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, because you hear people be like, I'm so annoyed with this person, I'm so tired of seeing them. You hear that when you're around situation, you're like, oh, I don't want to be that person. But I think part of success is I don't care if I'm that person, because at the end of the day, my brand success depends on me and not whether I'm getting on your nerves or not, whether you see in my face. If I think too much about that, then I'm not going to be successful and I'm not going to be able to do my greater mission, which is to pour in support and create this ecosystem of inclusivity and fight for equity for Black beauty. Like, I can't care about that. Yeah. And that took a lot too, because, you know, just being that introverted person, I am sensitive to energy. I'm empathetic as well, I feel. And so it's almost like when I'm posting at times, I could hear people going, oh my God, I'm tired of seeing her face. Like, you could just
keep on scrolling.
You don't like my face, scroll by. I don't care. You don't like seeing my brand, scroll, don't unfollow me. I really, it's like Huda Beauty said, you either for me or you not. And actually, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're not for me or for you, Akua. What's for us, you know, God, nothing, no man can put asunder. No man can.
That's exactly right.
And so I've had to really, I think having a brand really had to make me also step up, not just as a boss and be a boss, right? You know, and actually direct and be smart and research and be a leader. And, you know, because it's like people think beauty brand founder, it's like real leadership. You know, I'm guiding my team. I'm also taking advice. You know, we're having weekly meetings. You know, we're meeting with other corporate leaders. Like, it's just it's a whole nother level for me. I'm in Zoom meetings sometimes like all day. And, you know, I would say that, you know, I'm able to really lean into that leadership because I just know my mission. And so at the end of the day, it's like, that's like the guiding force for me. It's like pushing me, you know, even when I don't want to be on another Zoom or even when I don't want to have yet another discussion about something, I'm like, but you know, you push yourself through it because you know, just how crucial and important your word, you know, in there, your experience, what your team is looking for, your leadership in that. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've had to really step into that role. My mom says she always like, you're born for that because you've always been bossy. And my husband says I'm bossy as well. I hear I'm bossy from so many people. That's so it's fine. So I guess being bossy helps you to be a boss. Okay. My mom was like, you were directing people since you was a child. But you know, you know, I think that it's just has to be a part of like the fearlessness that you have to take on, you know, to be successful. And you just can't worry about what other people are thinking. You really can't.
Yes. Keep it moving.
You keep it moving and you just keep putting those feet in front of each other. And I also think success, it may not come from your immediate community, you know, like it comes from people who don't know you. They see you, they want to sow into you, they want to pour into you, they want to support you. And thank God for those people because they believe in, you know, the brand, you know. So sometimes people, I don't know, I think about it from a rap artist point of view. You know, like Drake is from Canada, right? He's from Toronto, but it took him linking up with, you know, Young Money and some Southern hip hop artists to be seen on even his own home stage, you know. And there's a lot to be said about that. You know, that is how the world is. We sometimes, you know, celebrate others, you know, from the outside before we celebrate within. And that, I don't know why we're built like that. You know, I don't understand. I still can't
Maybe
understand
human
that.
nature or something.
It could, and it has to be human nature because it's not just with Drake. It's a lot of, it's even actors, you know, they, you know, talk about growing up, you know, impoverished and being, you know, made fun of and bullied growing up. And then they're huge A-list actresses and the world is at their feet. And you hear these high school memories, you know, where somebody's like, yeah, they were a loser in our school, whatever, you know,
We used to stuff them in the locker.
and yeah. And like, why didn't people believe, you know, in them, you know, like, and a lot of times they were acting back then, you know, they were in the plays and they went to get booed off stage or whatever, or booed out of a comedy club when they tried to do stand up, you know, whatever the life circumstance is. It's just very interesting how sometimes we don't get that support internally. So that's something I'm also trying to change. I think that that's not something that we all haven't participated in, even if it's indirectly, you know, even if it's not intentional, you know, like it's just you get a big check, you get your income tax, and you go straight to Gucci. You know, you don't think about going to, you know, Telfar or, you know, wherever it is, you know, you want these certain things. I think all of that type of stuff too, it goes really way deeper for us in terms of systemically how things are programmed to us and what equates success, you know, what we see as successful, having a certain farm. Another child came home.
I love it.
Now you get to see how many kids. Hey, Jordan, welcome home. Oh, Siani, hi again. So, you know, it's just we get to really like just witness. For me, especially from a brand founder point of view, I'm like when I seen that outpour of women ordering from me from the Today Show, it was like I didn't know anyone, no one,
No
and
familiar
then
names on the list.
no one, no one, and through some of these customers, I've forged really beautiful like relationships with a few of my customers who have been with me on the journey, and like we, no, you can, yeah, what are you waiting for? You can start. You're not going to be loud. We're almost done. We're almost done. It's fine. So yeah, at the end of the day, I think like, you know, just I forgot my thought, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. Yeah.
Just
I
keep
hope
going.
so. Going, yeah. It's hard to keep going when your family keep going.
That's funny. Next one. What is a resource that helps you in your business that you can share with the friends and beauty community?
What's a resource? Oh my goodness. There's a few great resources, honestly. There's Black Beauty Collective. So I will
Miss
definitely talk
Leslie.
about Les. Yep, Miss
She was
Leslie
on the
Robeson.
podcast before.
Yes, Les, I'm actually a member and I'm in her Chicago store. We're going to be in her Los Angeles store that's opening April 6th. And so if you are a brand founder and you're trying to learn how to scale your brand, Black Beauty Collective is an awesome society. It's a membership-based society that you pay for, but it actually helps teach our brand, Black-owned brand owners, how to scale their brands into the retail space because it is a new space. And so with the help of Leslie, she's actually going to eventually keep rolling out more Black Beauty Collective stores across the country and eventually internationally. And so it's a really great opportunity for, you know, small niche brands and even bigger Black-owned brands who want to join forces with this because I think it really just shows so much importance in collaboration because when you think about it, every body in that store is individually owned and collectively pouring into the store together. So it's really
That's
cool. It's a
beautiful.
dope community. So that is a great space for any of your friends and beauty podcasters who happen to be entrepreneurial, who are skin, hair, or makeup. Check them out. Black Beauty Roster is another organization. I know you know them well. They're a great source of support. Maudie. But they're just a great another great support system. And then you have Black Beauty Club, another organization created by Tomi and Esmeri and Esmeret. And so they are another great collective of Black beauty creatives who are coming together to really amplify creators in the space, entrepreneurs, and help them basically through panels and discussions and really like kind of pushing the conversation about everything that I'm kind of talking about, equity and, you know, and inclusion and stuff. So there's that. And then you have Brain Trust, you know, so there's a lot of support out there, you know, a lot of research, there's a lot of grants. And information websites and stuff that that's so easy for us to find, and you know it's just way more resources. Like I was saying in a recent post, I was saying people like Lisa Price and Melissa Butler, and for those who may not know, Lisa founded Carol's Daughter and Melissa founded the Lip Bar. You know, they when they came into existence, they didn't have this level of resources that Black women founded brands are exposed to now, and it's still not a lot. You know, it's still, we're still being underfunded, but it's still more than what they had. So, you know, there's a lot of room for growth, and people just need to know the organizations to kind of go to and get involved in the communities when you get in them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this. Oh, great. So the last one, this is the
Jordan,
last one.
Welcome home, Jordan. I'm on a podcast.
I feel like it's like the Brady Bunch coming in.
It's a lot of kids. It's a lot of kids. Funny. Actually, you should even put the sounds in because I think people will be like, that's crazy. But yeah,
I love four kids. I just got a cat running around here. That's it.
Well, we got the 120-pound dog. He's running around too.
Oh, have mercy. Well, this is the last one. I just want you to fill in the blank. Just say, my name is blank, Ashunta. And the key to longevity and success is blank, whatever you think it is.
Okay. My name is Ashunta Sharif Kendricks, and my key to longevity and success is moving through life with kindness.
Love it. Yay. Before you go, please share social media, websites, however you want people to connect with you, follow this journey, purchase some products, you can share everything.
Okay. So if you want to know more about Ashunta Sharif Beauty, you can follow both my personal as well as brand page. The personal page is at Ashunta Sharif and the brand page is at Ashunta Sharif Beauty. And if you want to shop our brand, you can go to www.ashuntabeauty.com.
Yay! Thank you so much for coming back and catching up and sharing with us. I always just love talking to you. This is always a pleasure. But thank you so much.
I'm so excited. And actually, I have one last. I'm signed with Crowd Management, so we'll be making an announcement soon.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Yes, I'm so excited to join the Crowd family. So by the time this comes out, the announcement probably will have come out.
I don't remember his name. I know it's
Sage.
I want to get him on the podcast. I saw him at the makeup show last year. He was just so lovely.
Yeah, I'll connect you guys. Him and his team, Tracy and all of them, you know, Swifty, they're amazing. So I'm excited to see what is, you know, on the horizons for me with Crowd. I'm excited.
Yay, congrats.
Yay.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.